This is Dr. Cassieri as we continue our study in the course entitled The Doctrine of Christ. The last time we were together, we began lesson number 15 entitled The Intercessory Work of Christ. We want to conclude lesson 15 now and look at the last two remaining points as I direct your attention to the course outline. In lesson 15, we have two more points to cover. On lesson 15, the intercessory work of Christ. That's point H, which is Christ offers to be your intercessor today. And then a brief conclusion to our lesson on the intercessory work of Christ. So let's look at point H at this time in lesson 15 on the intercessory work of Christ. Point H is Christ offers to be your intercessor today. If we do not ask for forgiveness, we will not receive it. In times of severe trial, we ought to be glad of a true friend at court. The Savior stands ever ready at the court of heaven to assist us. He is willing to be our personal representative to the Father. As we pray, we place our case in His hands for His divine care. As a true man, He was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet He was without sin. Amen. He overcame sin and now offers that overcoming power to us. We do not know the accusations that Satan is constantly bringing to the Father against us. Some of them may be true, but many, many may be false. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10 tells us, the accuser of our brethren is cast down. The accuser of our brethren is cast down, and of course that is the devil. So, my dear friend, our departed loved ones, saints, or Mary, amen, cannot be our advocates. Amen. Only our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, amen, can be our advocate, can be our intercessor. Amen. As the Bible tells us, there's one man, amen, one man between God and man, and that is the Christ Jesus. Amen. That's right. There is one mediator, the Bible tells us. One mediator. Is that not true? The Bible tells us. One mediator between man and God, and that's the man, Christ Jesus. Is it not? And praise the Lord for that, that He ever liveth to make intercession for you and I. Let's conclude our lesson number 15 on the intercessory work of Christ. Let's turn to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22 with me. In Luke chapter 22, let's look at verse number 31. Luke 22, verse 31. In Luke 22, verse 31, the Lord says to Simon, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But notice what our Lord tells Simon, Peter, verse 32, but I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. See, this is Christ's present intercessory ministry on our behalf. Amen. Since He knows all things, He can pray about temptations even before they come. Allow Him, my dear friend, to plead your case, to receive grace, strength, and power for daily living. Allow Him to plead to plead your case, to conform you to his blessed image. Amen. That's what the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8. Amen. Romans chapter number 8 with me. In Romans chapter 8, in verse number 29, Romans 8, 29. For whom he did know, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Amen. Allow him to plead your case, to conform you to his blessed image. The intercessory work of Christ has supplied strong motives for consistent and impressive Christian living. The resurrected Christ is watching over me. The resurrected Christ is watching over you. The Christian soldier reckons on Jesus, the captain, fighting the same battle, but on a higher plane. Fighting the battle in the heaven lines. Amen. Paul reminds us in the book of Ephesians, does he not? In Ephesians chapter 6. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. Paul reminds us, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. No, our battle is not with what can be seen, but our battle is with what cannot be seen. It's a spiritual battle. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And praise the Lord that we have a great high priest, that we have our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that ever liveth to make intercession for you and me. The humblest believer now rests in the love of that unseen friend whose faithful care is unaffected by time or events. Well, that concludes lesson 15, entitled The Intercessory Work of Christ. And now we're going to move right into lesson number 16 as we look at our, again, I turn our attention to our course outline. Lesson 16 is entitled The Second Coming of Christ. The Second Coming of Christ. And in lesson 16, these are the following points that we'll look at. Point A is we'll have a brief introduction. Point B, we'll look at the prophecies of Christ's second coming. Point C, we'll look at the time of Christ's coming. Point D, we'll examine the purpose of Christ's coming. Point E, we'll examine how is Christ coming. Point F, we'll look at where is Christ coming to. Point G, we'll discover the manner of his coming. Point H, we'll look at some of the signs of Christ's coming. And then point I, we'll have a brief conclusion to lesson 16, the second coming of Christ. So now let's begin with an introduction on the second coming of Christ, lesson 16. Now, there are three Greek words used to reveal this fact. First, the first word is parousia, and I'll spell it, P-A-R-O-U-S-I-A, which is the personal presence. And then the second Greek word is apokalupios, and that's A P-O-K-A-L-U-P-S-I-S, which means revelation. And then there's the Iphania, E-P-I-P-H-A-N-E-I-A, which means appearing. These three words signify that there will come a time when Christ will return in a public, personal revelation of himself to the world. Some teach that the second coming is when at death Jesus comes to receive the soul. But that is not a public revelation visible to all the world. Let's turn to Acts chapter 1 for just a moment. Acts chapter 1 with me. And in Acts chapter 1, let's look at verses 10 and 11. Acts chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. And of course, we have here a description of the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. We know that he ascended 40 days after the resurrection. And Acts chapter 1, verses 10 and 11 describes the Lord's return as in the same manner as his ascension. Number one, personal. Number two, bodily. Number three, visible. And number four, and with power. The Savior's first coming was in humiliation, but the second advent will be glorious, my dear friend. Actually, there are three major viewpoints respecting his coming. Viewpoint number one is post-millennial view. In the post-millennial view, it teaches that the second coming will follow rather than precede the millennial age or the thousand-year reign of Christ. Again, we're looking at the three major viewpoints respecting his coming. The post-millennial view teaches that the second coming will follow rather than precede the millennial age. Number two is the amillennial view. An amillennialist, he does not believe in a literal period of a thousand years, but believes that when Christ comes, everything ends quickly. Again, the second view is the amillennial view. And a person that's an amillennialist does not believe in a literal period of a thousand years, but believes that when Christ comes, everything ends quickly. And then, of course, the third view, which is the biblical, the Bible teaches, is the premillennial view, and that is that the Lord comes and then follows the millennium. Again, the premillennial view is the Lord comes and then follows the millennium, or the thousand-year reign of Christ. Now, the second coming is in two stages. The rapture, which is in secret, when the Lord comes for his saints and we meet him in the air. And of course, we find that, if you'll turn with me, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians with me. 1 Thessalonians with me, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. And we want to look at verses 15 through 17. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which were alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Again, the second coming is in two stages. The rapture, which is in secret, as we just read, when the Lord comes for his saints, for the church, for the body of Christ, and we will meet him in the air. Those that are in the grave that have died in Christ will come up first, and then we that are alive at his coming will then go up. Amen. The second part is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which is public, when the Lord comes with his saints to set up the millennium. look first with me in Revelations chapter 1. In Revelations chapter 1, look with me in verse number 7. In Revelations chapter 1 and verse 7, the Bible tells us, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him." Even so, amen. "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him." So we see there at the second advent, we see as the Lord returns with his saints, with the church, with his body, that it will be visible. Amen. Everybody, it'll be public and visible. Amen. And then also with me in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, in verse number 13, "To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints." So again, the second coming is in two stages. First, the rapture, which is in secret, when the Lord comes for his saints, the church, and we'll meet him in the air, amen? And then the second part is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which is public, when the Lord comes with his saints to set up the millennium. Again, we're looking at lesson number 16 on the second coming of Christ. That was point A, the introduction. Let's move on into point B, which is prophecies of Christ's second coming. Now, his first coming was prophesied, and those prophecies came to pass literally. This gives you and I great confidence that the prophecies of the second advent will also be fulfilled literally and not in a figurative or spiritual sense. First of all, it was foretold by the prophets. Amen? It was foretold by the prophets. Look with me in the book of Daniel the prophet. Daniel the prophet. Daniel the prophet, chapter 7. And Daniel the prophet, chapter 7. Look with me, if you would, in verse number 13. Daniel 7, 13. We're looking at how the prophecies of Christ's second coming. It was foretold, first of all, by the prophets. Daniel chapter 7, verse 13. "I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him." Again, Daniel is giving us prophesying about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not only Daniel talked about it, foretold it, but it was foretold by Jesus himself. Let's look at the Gospel of Matthew with me. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25. Matthew 25 with me. And in Matthew chapter 25, we want to look at verse number 31. Matthew 25, verse number 31 with me. Jesus says, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory." So we see that Jesus himself foretold his second coming. Also, the second coming, it was foretold by the Apostle Paul. Amen? It was foretold by the Apostle Paul. And we want to turn at this time into 1 Timothy chapter number 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, in verse number 14, we see that the second coming of Christ was foretold by the Apostle Paul. 1 Timothy 6, verse 14, "That thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ." So the Apostle Paul foretold of the second coming of Christ. And then also it was foretold by the angels. Amen? And we just read that in Acts chapter 1 and verses 10 and 11. While the disciples were watching and they were gazing up, we saw the Savior ascended from this earth, and we know that the angels spoke to them, amen, as the Lord ascended, as they were gazing up and scratching their heads, figuring what in the world was going on. The angel said to them, And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. These were two angels, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. So, we see then, Christ's second coming was prophesied. We see it was foretold by the prophets. It was foretold by Jesus himself. It was foretold by the Apostle Paul. And it was foretold by the angels when the Savior ascended from earth. Now, none of these prophecies were fulfilled at his first coming. Now, let's move on to point C of lesson 16, the second coming of Christ. Point C is the time of Christ's coming. Amen. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24 with me. In Matthew chapter 24. And the time of Christ's coming, this is unknown, and only the Lord knows. Jesus Christ as man did not know that date, but Jesus Christ as God is omniscient and certainly knows the exact moment when it will occur. Looking in Matthew chapter 24 with me, in verse number 36, Jesus is speaking about the second coming, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So, the time of his coming is unknown, amen. Only the Lord knows. Now, point D on lesson 16, the second coming of Christ, is the purpose of Christ's coming. Well, number one, to complete the salvation of saints, of the saints, amen. He has delivered us from the power and penalty of sin, but then he shall deliver us from the presence of sin. Look with me in Hebrews chapter 9 for just a moment. Hebrews 9. In Hebrews chapter 9, I want us to look at verse number 28 of Hebrew 9. Hebrew 9, verse 28. We read, and so Christ once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. The purpose of Christ's coming, number one, to complete the salvation of the saints. Number two, to be glorified in his saints. Look with me in 2 Thessalonians. In 2 Thessalonians, we want to look at chapter 1 and verse number 10. It says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, and when he shall come to be glorified in his saints, see, and to be admired in all them that believe, because of our testimony among you was believed in that day. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints. So the purpose of Christ's coming, number two, is to be glorified in his saints. Number three is to bring to light the hidden things of darkness. To bring to light the hidden things of darkness. Let's look at 1 Corinthians with me, chapter 4 and verse number 5. 1 Corinthians 4, 5. The Bible tells us, therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. In that shall every man have praise of God. So number three, the third purpose is we're looking at for the purpose of Christ coming is to bring to light the hidden things of darkness. Number four, to judge. Look in 2 Timothy with me. In 2 Timothy chapter number 4. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. In verse number 1. I charge thee therefore before God in the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. So we see the fourth purpose of Christ's coming is to judge. Number five is to reign. Look in Revelations chapter 11. Revelations chapter 11 with me. In Revelations chapter 11, we want to look at verse number 15. Revelations 11:15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. So we see number five, a fifth purpose for the coming purpose of Christ's coming, is to reign. Number six is to receive us to be with himself. To receive us to be with himself. Look at with me in the Gospel of John. Amen. The Gospel of John in chapter number 14. Remember back then they were concerned about Christ leaving them, and he said in verse 3 of John 14, If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, he promises, and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So we see a sixth purpose of Christ's coming is to receive us to be with himself. And number seven, to destroy death. Amen. To destroy death is another purpose of Christ's coming. Let's look in 1 Corinthians with me. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, look with me in verses 25 and 26 of 1 Corinthians 15. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet, that the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. So again here, in point D, we've looked at seven purposes of Christ's coming. Number one, to complete the salvation of saints. Number two, to be glorified in his saints. Number three, to bring to light the hidden things of darkness. Number four, to judge. Number five, to reign. Number six, to receive us to be with himself. And number seven, to destroy death. Now, let's look at point E in our lesson on the second coming of Christ. Point E is, how is Christ coming? Well, we want to see, first of all, secretly at the rapture. Secretly at the rapture. Let's look at some verses that speak about that. Look with me in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in verse number 2, the Bible tells us, For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. No one knows, amen. I mean, a thief doesn't broadcast when he's going to break into a house or when he's coming, amen, to steal, amen. No, so the Lord's coming, the day of the Lord is so cometh as a thief in the night. It's secret, amen. Look with me in Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24 with me. In Matthew chapter 24, we want to look at verse 44. Matthew 24, 44. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. And then in verse 50 of Matthew 24, The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, in an hour that he is not aware of. So we see then how is Christ coming? Secretly at the rapture. In other words, be prepared, amen, my fellow Christian, my fellow believer, to meet him today. Live as if he's coming right now, today. Now, we see secretly the Christ is coming at the rapture is secretly, but publicly at the revelation, at his revealing, amen. Again, let's look at some verses that speak about the revelation that he'll be publicly, he'll be seen. Revelations chapter 1. Revelations chapter 1 and verse 7. We're told, Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him, even so, amen. It'll be publicly. His revelation will be public. All will behold him. Those that pierced him, amen, will see him, amen. In Matthew 24, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24. In Matthew 24, we want to look at verse number 30, Matthew 24, 30. Matthew 24:30, and Jesus said, "And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." We see then at the revelation of Jesus Christ, amen, that it will be publicly, amen. He'll be seen, amen. And then shall appear, Jesus said, the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then in Titus chapter 2 with me. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2 in verse number 13. Notice what it says. Titus chapter 2 verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Yes, we see then, point E, how is Christ coming? Secretly at the rapture, amen, and publicly at the revelation. Now let's move on to point F in our lesson on the second, lesson 16 on the second coming of Christ. We ask the question in point F, where is Christ coming to? Well, at the rapture, we will meet him in the air when he comes for the church, for his church, for the saints, for the believers, all those who have believed on Christ from the day of Pentecost up until the rapture. Looking in 1 Thessalonians with me, chapter 4 and verse 17. Notice what it says here. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord. Where? In the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. So at the rapture, his church, the body of Christ, the saints of God, will meet him in the air. Now at the revelation, when the saints come back with him, the church, we will descend with him to the earth. Okay, so it'll be earthly, it'll be visibly. He'll return to the earth, amen, at the second advent, amen, when he comes to set up the millennium. The Lord, we are told, will land on the Mount of Olives. Look with me in Zechariah. Zechariah. In the book of Zechariah, the prophet Zechariah with me just for a moment. And we want to look at Zechariah chapter 14. And in Zechariah chapter 14, notice what it says with me in verse 4. Zechariah 14:4. We are told, in his feet, referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, in his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst, therefore toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. He's going to land on the Mount of Olives. It's going to split in two. Amen. What a scene that's going to be. Amen. Praise the Lord. He's coming back, is he not? All right, let's move on to point G in lesson 16 on the second coming of Christ. Point G is the manner of his coming. The manner of his coming. Amen. We read in Matthew chapter 24, verse 30, that his coming will be in the clouds, number one. And then also the manner of his coming, number two, is in the glory of his Father. Notice with me what the Word of God says in Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16 with me, please. In verse number 27, the Bible tells us, "For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his work." So we see, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father. So it's again, we're looking at point G on the manner of his coming. Number one, in the clouds. Number two, in the glory of his Father. And number three, in his own glory. Look with me in Matthew chapter 25. In Matthew chapter 25 with me, in verse number 31. We see, it says, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory." So number three, as we look at the manner of his coming, it will be in his own glory. Number four, in flaming fire. Flaming fire. Look at in 2 Thessalonians. The manner of his coming in flaming fire. 2 Thessalonians with me. 2 Thessalonians, in chapter 1, in verse number 8. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. In flaming fire he will come. Again, we're looking at the manner of his coming. Number 5, with power and great glory. In power and great glory. Again, in Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24 with me. In Matthew chapter 24, we want to look at verse number 30. It says, "And then shall appear the son of sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." Again, we're looking at the manner of his coming. Number 6, we've looked at Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11 several times, and it tells us, as he ascended in bodily form, so he shall return in bodily form. Number 7, the manner of his coming, with a shout and the voice of the archangel at the rapture. Amen? Look with me in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 with me. In verse number 16. We read this now. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." And then we see also, as we look at the manner of his coming, number 8, with his saints. With his saints. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13. We are told, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13 with me. "To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints." Number 9, as we look at the manner of his coming, accompanied by angels. Again, let's go back to Matthew chapter 16. In Matthew chapter 16, in verse number 27. Matthew 16, verse 27, we read, "For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels." And then again, the manner of his coming is suddenly. In Mark chapter 13, in Mark chapter 13 with me, verse number 36. Matthew 13, verse 36, we read, "Lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch." Amen. So again, we've looked at point G here under our lesson 16 on the second coming of Christ. And under point G, we've looked at 10 things concerning the manner of his coming. Number 1, it will be in the clouds. Number 2, it will be in the glory of his Father. Number 3, it will be in his own glory. Number 4, it will be in flaming fire. Number 5, it will be with power and great glory. Number 6, it will be as he ascended, he'll come back in bodily form. And number 7, at the rapture, will be with a shout in the voice of the archangel. We see at the second advent, it will be with his saints, point 8. Point 9, the manner of his coming, he'll be accompanied by angels. And then number 10, his second coming, the manner of his coming, will be suddenly. Now let's move quickly on to point H. Amen. Point H, which is the signs of Christ's coming. Let's turn to 2 Timothy for just a moment. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 with me. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, I want us to read down together verses 1 through 7. "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses, and lead captive silly women laden with sin, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So we see here then, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, it lists some 23 signs of his coming. Most, if not all of them, that are very evident today in the age that we're living. Quickly, let me give them to you. Number one, perilous times. Number two, men loving themselves. Number three, covetousness. Number four, boasters. Number five, proud. Number six, blasphemy. Number seven, disobedient to parents. Number eight, unthankful. Number nine, unholy. Number 10, without natural affection. Number 11, truce breakers. Number 12, false accusers. Number 13, incontinent. Number 14, fierce. Number 15, despising good. Number 16, traitors. Number 17, heady. Number 18, high-minded. Number 19, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Number 20, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Number 21, silly women laden with sins. 22, diverse lusts. Number 23, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. These are all signs of his second coming, characteristics of the people that would be living in the day of his second coming. And isn't it true? As we just look around, aren't most of these evident today, these characteristics in folks today? Amen. Also, in Matthew 24, verses 5 through 7, and verses 12 through 38, lists 10 signs. Amen. 10 signs. Let's turn first of all to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Matthew 24 with me. In Matthew 24, we want to look at verses 5 through 7. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence, earthquakes in diverse places. And then also, as we continue, beginning in verse 12 of Matthew 24, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold, but he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for witness unto all nations, then shall come the end. When ye shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, and whoso readeth, let him understand it. Then let them which be in Judah flee into the mountains, and let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. So we see here then in Matthew chapter 24, verses 5 to 7, and Matthew chapter verses 12 to 38. We see ten signs that are listed. Again, in Matthew 24, verses 5 to 7, and verses 12 to 38 list 10 signs of the Lord at his second coming. And we'll look at those next time. We'll continue our lesson here on the second coming of Christ, and we'll look at those 10 signs under the signs of Christ's coming. So at this time, this will end tape number 9, side 2, and we'll continue with lesson 15 next time, or lesson 16, rather, next time on Christ's second coming.